everybody. Welcome to MacGyveCast episode,
110 of 139, titled Lesson in Evil.
Getting closer.
So we're season 6, episode 6, which aired 29 October 1990.
All right.
So I'm probably getting ready for probably the last Halloween. No, I probably had stopped going out for Halloween. I was in grade 11. I might have just been blowing shit up.
This would have been my fifth Halloween on the planet, because I was born in November. So I would have, I don't know what I would have done.
This would have been grade 12. This would have been starting grade 12. I graduated in 91.
I remember I had costumes the first 5 years and some face makeup. It wasn't Dracula this year. That was for first grade. So I probably had some lame costume. I can't remember. Spider-Man, I think it was a year before. It might have been Spider-Man. I might have had a Spider-Man costume. Plastic.
Okay, so the summary is the infamous Dr. Zito escapes from court during his insanity hearing. Well, not really. MacGyver and the police, including the same officer responsible for Zito's incarceration, are now the victims of Zito's sadistic games.
Yeah, you think this is a cheaper Michael Despard?
I wonder.
Murdoch.
Yeah.
To me, it feels rip-off Thomas Heresy. It has a lot of the stuff from Silence of the Lambs, but that wouldn't come out till 91. So unless the trailer had already aired, they really can't steal a visual style.
Well, remember the follow-on movie, which came out first.
Well, actually, no, it's Manhunter, but it's not the follow-on. It's actually it takes place before Silence of the Lambs.
Okay. But I thought that when you did the math last time, the novel had been published.
Yes.
So it's based off the novel, not off the movies.
And the novel had been like taking the world by storm at this point. So maybe they took some from that and from Manhunter, the Michael Mann movie. Some of the setups and the shot construction look similar to it. The toilet paper thing and the fact that he's supposed to be like a brilliant genius doctor who got his cellmate to kill himself for
no reason. The toilet paper thing was in flashbacks from the previous episode.
Yeah, it was so fucking weird.
Yes, and also it's kind of a cheaper show because there's a lot of recycled footage and there's a lot of just office interiors.
So yeah, there was a previous episode. What season was this?
I get on to it. Repeating from season 4, episode 7, Deadly Dreams.
And we talked about this there. This is where he was like Hannibal Lecter.
Which was MacGyvecast episode 71.
Yes, and he was Hannibal Lecter-esque, and we talked about this. That's right. Now I'm remembering all of this. Returning all this black and white footage. I'm like, oh, yeah, they just desaturated the footage from the last episode.
Yeah, so returning from that are Hannibal Lecter and Angry Lady Cop.
Yep, okay, this makes perfect sense.
And returning from the previous episode and formerly playing the priest, Gomer Canadian Cop, who's now a captain.
Yeah, this is the one where the guy got chopped in the stomach. This was a crazy episode.
Yes, that's the first one.
Yeah, from season 4.
So we open on MacGyver running up the steps to the old Vancouver courthouse, currently the art gallery, and then being accosted by some children in Halloween costumes collecting money for the homeless.
We're not really monsters. Are you sure about that?
As no one ever did.
I know.
So do the math. When is court in session? When school is in session.
Yeah, I know. That's weird.
So why are these fuckers not in school? Also, the homeless? Who the fuck collected money for the homeless? You collected money for UNICEF.
Yeah, or you collected money for more candy.
These are clearly midgets doing a scam.
Yeah, what's really weird is that, you know, of course, they're probably hired by somebody on the productions. They're kids. Maybe it's MacGyver's sons.
Well, yeah. So I'm guessing these are the kids of a producer and not the kids of someone the producer wants to bang.
Yeah. All right. And so we're in the courtroom, and they're going over the last episode, season 4. They have these
shop. Pete's on the show.
Yeah, that's great. It's Dan Alcar.
He's with Lady Detective, who does some exposition that if he is judged to be sane, he'll be released.
I didn't see any strings tied between their wrists to help him move.
And all those murders that the DA investigating him for were from 5 years ago. All the witnesses have died, or the evidence is cold, and the DA is stupid.
Yeah, a lot of ranting. And like the people acting up a fucking storm, and the judge going nuts.
But act like Troy McClure acting.
Yeah, I'm acting for television.
Capital A, acting. Oh. Or almost like Calculon from Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So now the Phoenix Foundation also provides on contract basic forensics and scientific services to the police department. So that's new.
Yeah. And MacGyver's a sometime freelancer. Like, you sometime work for this. Wait a minute, buddy. I feel like there's like
who else does he work for?
There's like 4 years where you hardcore work for them every week in and out.
Well, I guess sometimes he works for Dalton.
Yeah. Sometimes my buddy comes into town and scams me.
Yes. So Mac rehashes with black and white flashbacks to the earlier episode, including axe to the gut.
I have to say, that part I didn't think about the first time. I'm like, where do they have all this old footage from? I'm like, this feels so familiar. I'm like, oh, old episode. This is actually well done.
So cut to, of course, the lady psychiatrist objecting in court, which would not happen. She would not be in the courtroom, let alone at the defense table.
Exactly.
She would have been called as a witness and then after that escorted out.
And also she would have been not during the sentencing. It would have been during the trial.
No. And there wouldn't have been, oh, MacGyver stops talking. Okay. Judge gives her ruling.
Yeah.
Yes. And the judge has reached her decision. That's quick. The judge decides he is insane and should remain incarcerated.
Convenient.
So when signing a paper for his appeal, which of course the psychiatrist would start, Dr. Lecter steals her pen, but is then caught by the black orderly who usually plays a cop on MacGyver.
Yeah. What are you doing over there? He's like, can't you take these things off him? He's not an animal. And then, of course, he's stolen part of the pen. We all know this.
Oh, well, we know we don't find that.
Ever seen media, you know this.
But Lecter thinks that MacGyver needs a lesson in evil, so yeah. We have the title mentioned.
Yeah, that's very, very Thomas Harris. This is very again. And so essentially, you then see him getting a drink of water, and he pulls the...
Well, the orderly catches him with the pen,
yeah.
So makes him return the pen. Then he goes out into the hallway, where I say he fellates a water fountain, and then uses a cross pen cartridge that he's pocketed to pick the handcuffs.
The most stainless steel pen cartridge I've ever seen in my life.
Which is not how lockpicking works.
Yeah, I'm aware. And then
they go into the elevator.
Of course, and it's like, oh, what's going to happen? And then it's MacGyver and...
it's cut to a woman screaming. One of the orderlies
first you
is
see
hanging.
Them in the hallway. You see MacGyver them talking, and then it's her cut to her screaming.
Yes, one of the orderlies is being hung.
Yeah, he's hung.
The other one is dead, while Zito climbs up the elevator shaft and out the door upstairs. He goes into the bailiff's lounge.
If you can
really
hang the guy,
a lounge?
If you can hang the guy, couldn't you just? I guess you use a fulcrum point. It wouldn't be as easy as pushing his body up, but you could tie a rope to him
would.
And drag him up.
So, Lady Doctor is horrified. Vito has now changed into a guard's outfit, yet his hands are still covered in blood.
Yeah.
He walks out, and I'm not sure that they're really saying they said the building's secure. It's not particularly secure. He leaves, she leaves, everyone seems to be able to leave.
Yeah, and then he drops the bloody pen into the kid's can.
Well, yes, outside
bucket.
He's accosted by the monster children, or midgets doing a scam.
You are monsters.
He deposits the pen cartridge in one of the kid's pumpkins. Dr. Lady runs in and tells them he's escaped. So, okay, he was shackled. So that's four handcuff locks. He only opened the one on his left hand. So before getting he was only unlocked one before getting into the elevator. How does he undo the other three, two of which being on his ankles?
Ankle shackles, yeah, I don't know.
While stabbing one of the orderlies to death with a pen refill.
Yeah, it's impossible.
And then hanging the other guy.
I guess he stabbed the guy to death, then he took the shackles off. And then he strangled the other guy with the chain. So he stabs the guy at the pen thing, he's bleeding out, strangles the other guy at the chain, snaps his neck, then carefully takes his irons off.
Yeah, but this is an old guy that can hardly run.
Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous, it's fucking nuts. And then also, I realized for a moment that the angry cop with the blonde hair, she looks kind of demonic, and at some point she's been nude and had intercourse with someone. How terrifying is that?
Okay.
Just think about that. She's somebody's like wife or girlfriend. It's like, what? You have sex with
that? He also had time to write out a clue and put it in the orderly, I think they said.
Okay. Ew.
And the message being, your lesson in evil begins, MacGyver.
Yeah.
And then in parentheses, 6 times 2, and then -8 = Ooh, written, yes.
And they have a whole walk and talk about it through the cells.
Yes. Lady cop is typically bitchy. And we now have the title mentioned again 3 more times.
Lessons in evil. Lesson in evil.
Mac thinks the clue is where the lesson should start. So cell 4. Because if you do that math, the answer is 4.
Yep.
And you notice they always do the math in a very, we don't want people to feel too stupid.
Yeah, it's show your work, very linear, very simple.
Yes, so they find a box of playing cards in his cell. And in the middle of the box of playing cards is a library card that expires 1st of January 1995 from the, quote, state library.
Then one of the guys in the nearby cell throws jism in the cop's eye.
So I question...
That's a Science of the Lambs reference.
I question the prop. First, state library? It would be prison library,
yep.
And they wouldn't have a card for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the card wouldn't be so big as a playing card. It would be something sized to fit, you know, in a wallet.
And it wouldn't be orange?
And it probably wouldn't be signal yellow.
Yeah.
because in this era, if they're not doing paper entry, they're doing a putting it through basically a photocopy machine or some kind of photo reader. Anyways, we now flash back to black and white. And I forget what they did. Zito doesn't do anything accidentally. Everything in the last 2 years has led up to this escape.
And he's talking to them on a payphone.
Even being found crazy. And then Zito calls into MacGyver in the cell, because of course you can do that.
I know the exact phone number to my prison cell.
Zito is now dressed like a hipster lumbersexual from Seattle.
Yeah, okay.
The title has been spoken aloud again.
Mm-hmm.
He will find his homework assignment in the phone box outside the prison, which is supposedly where he's making this call from.
Is that written in lipstick? What the fuck is it written in?
It appears to be a homeless person's cart with a big silver balance scale, a ball of twine, and hedge clippers. And I say, written in, I want to say, lipstick on the phone booth is in parentheses 3 times 10.
Is that like a subtle, oh my God, he raped a woman.
And since that's multiplication and division, there's no need for the parentheses.
Yeah, it's, no algebra is being involved.
Yes, which for the stupid, Mac answers is 15. We now cut to an evidence board in the police station. Mac thinks it ties to something in the books Zito has taken out over the last 2 years. Bitchy cop is now bitchy to the psychologist.
Mm, yeah.
And then to quote Heel Hauser, time has passed. It's now almost 2 a.m, and they somehow magically find the clue on page 15.
Mm-hmm.
Which, how many books? I mean, it was the psychologist bringing in about 10 books. It takes them how many hours to check page 15 on every book?
It's ridiculous.
Yes, and they find a new formula, 10 plus 8 in parentheses, divided by 6. And really, it took them that long to find page 15? So, that must mean it references the three fates who controlled the future. Which is in the book that the formula, as they call it, was written on. Tito calls in again. Lady cop then runs out and runs in with a gigantic two-deck ghetto blaster to record the phone call on.
And priest cop in the background gives him the more time. Keep it rolling.
Yes. So did they piss off the prop department, or did they just not give a fuck?
They don't give a fuck at this point. I mean, they're like, hey, do you got the ghetto blaster from Guns and Boys?
Yes. He has a little riddle. And it's, quote, look hard, be diligent, and it'll happen when you least expect it. Remember, evil is never predictable. It follows no pattern. It strikes friends, loved ones, coworkers, and when you least expect it, comes home for the kill.
Yep.
So, okay, that is not a riddle.
Mm-mm.
No, that's a taunt.
It's a taunt. It's kind of like a statement. It's like, is he trying to tell us he's a small cock, or what's going on with this?
Yes. Mac keeps him on the line, but of course, not long enough to get a trace.
Yeah. You missed it by 1 second, MacGyver.
Yes, Pete now calls in with information. Another formula was written on the shears. 2 times 4, in parentheses, -4.
And also, Priest Detective has been getting a tan. I don't know if you noticed. He's been tanning or bronzing. He looks very different.
Which I'll quote Pete reads out as 2 times 12 -4.
Uh-huh.
Luckily, the same answer would be had with or without the parentheses.
Yeah.
Even though Mac writes it with parentheses.
Yeah, it's a very math-heavy episode. And then as soon as I cut to Pete, and after the riddle, I was like, Pete's next.
Well, we have bitchy cop being bitchy and inappropriate and wanting to blow Zito out of his shoes. Yeah. Well, that's what she said. Mac has to play the, quote, riddle. Mac thinks that the 20 must tie into the Phoenix lab because standard operating procedure that the Phoenix Foundation would be investigating those, that evidence.
Watching Pete get into Plymouth?
No, it's a Chevy Corsica.
Yeah. Watching Pete get into his Chevy and having to like grab on the outside while car shakes is really sad.
Yes. So we cut to Pete getting into his Chevy Corsica, where we cut to 5 times 9 parentheses divided by 3 is written just above Pete's parking lot, his name in the parking lot above space 20, again, written in lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
Then we cut to a cocked pistol being held to Pete's head. Zito has him.
And one of the funniest shots I've ever seen in all media.
Yes. We then see Pete locked up in a cell wearing basically a Hannibal Lecter mask.
Before Hannibal Lecter, before anybody knew what it was. And so like they're guessing from the book what they're describing. It's part Hellraiser, part Hannibal Lecter, part like saddle.
We then find out the three fates controlled the future. One was a weaver, which represented birth and string. One weighed lives, the balance. And then the shears represented death. They cut the string. And they found Pete's shitty Corsica. Did you notice it has the door attached shoulder seatbelt to it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it was that like 1 year period where they made the most annoying seatbelts in the world.
Yeah, that the rental car seatbelts.
Yes. Okay. I lost myself. It was dumped in. It was dumped in front of a police station in broad daylight. And what's in the trunk? Max, welcome, Matt. So he recognizes that. So, hey, race to the houseboat. Bitchy lady cop, of course, has to go in first. It's SOP.
But standard operating procedures for all of you not to know.
Well, that's no one says that. So outside of this show, no one says that. Yeah. So Pete is still wearing the gimp mask. Lady cop starts going upstairs.
Hey, look at your Skype window.
Okay, I gotta find it.
Lady cop starts going upstairs. Gotcha. We'll leave off there.
Come on. Oh, fuck, I hate the new Skype. Yeah, there's the gimp mask.
His face looks so sad.
Yes.
I want to go photocopy this and put it on his tombstone.
Okay. And and the stairs explode under her in a very low powered explosion that barely knocks her off the side of the railing. And is she dead? Nope, just a patient.
Such a low powered explosion. There's no fire.
And then we cut to a photographer taking pictures with a flash attached camera, mm-hmm. and they have not synced anything up. So you hear a shutter click.
After he's moving the camera down.
No, and then count a second, and then the flash goes off.
Weird.
So they put the sounds in at the wrong, not at the same time as the flash, because they're, I don't know, they pissed everyone off.
And then a 1980s DA shows up.
Yes. Well, no, that's the psychologist.
Was it the black chick's the psychologist? I thought the white chick who screamed was.
No, the black chick was the psychologist.
Okay, so red shirt 1980s psychologist shows up. Deborah Norville. Psychologist.
Yes, because of course she'd be showing up
at MacGyver's houseboat.
At the MacGyver's houseboat.
I've been here before.
Because she was a witness for the defense, and they're the prosecution.
How did you not get here? This is where I got chlamydia.
Yes, because that makes perfect sense that she shows up. Pete describes the building he was held in. Says it's big, empty, musty. the psychologist
says smelled of leather.
He always wanted to go to a monastery. Yeah. So, psychiatrist can't get her car to start she's going to go get her interview tapes. So, rather than getting a jump from all the cops that are around or getting them to drive her, she decides, hey, there's a cab. I'll get in it.
A very bright, ominous yellow cab in front of me.
Yes. And Mac has now figured out that the numbers all stand for letters of the alphabet, and they spell out DOCTORB. And she gets into the cabin. Beside her is the battery from her car.
Yep.
Zito is, of course, the driver, and he has the rapist locks on his car.
Yeah, and the full plastic behind him for the cab protection of the cabbie. But there's no vocal points. There's nowhere to talk through.
Yes. And then we cut to a big old bell being pulled back on a winch just past a very obvious trapdoor.
Yep.
We now cut to Mac listening. I guess, again, time has passed. Mm-hmm. MacGyver is listening to the interview and interview tapes while Zito calls again. So now Mac must solve a riddle for his final exam.
So what are the MacGyverisms in this episode? Math?
Yes.
Math maybe this cassette tape rewinding?
Maybe this one will actually be a riddle. He has an hour to find Zito's sanctuary. He has to come alone. It's a private lesson. So, nope, no riddle. Just the same old shitty one.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Zito.
I'm going to fuck this doctor in a bathtub. Riddle.
Yes, we now cut to Lady Doctor in an old psychiatric hospital bathtub. So, kind of strapped in. I assume this is a set, as I don't think any of the Nut Huts had closed yet. This might be Ocala Provincial Jail.
It's so creepy to think there's people who have been strapped in that way and had to take baths that way, and they've existed on this earth. You're not one of them. I'm not one of them. But think about, like, what situation parameters did you get into to have that happen to you? Deserve it or not?
You have to start throwing shit at people and attacking everyone.
I'm sure there's a couple cases where it was not as deserved. But, yeah, but 90% of the time, throwing shit, right? Biting.
Yes. He then puts a space heater just above the water line of the slowly filling tub.
It's filling really slowly compared to the amount of water that's pouring out.
I know.
That's not accurate.
Apparently there's an hour, but there's no way it would take more than like 5 minutes for that water to go up to the level of, for his version of electric.
It's like an inch and a half from the bottom.
Yes. But it has to go all the way up to where there's the actual element.
All right.
But still, you're right. Pete gives a clue about the helmet. It's not a prisoner's helmet. It's a patient's helmet. So his only true home was at the asylum. And then it turns out, from Captain Obvious, the cop,
that the old asylum on River Road used to be a monastery. Well, thank you, Captain Fucktard. They've only been searching all the churches and monasteries, and now you mention it? Fuck you, Jackson Davies. Fuck you.
And he had that t-shirt from there.
Yes. So 10 minutes. He can just make it. I don't think so. But he has to go alone.
And the old monastery psych house is like, that's like somebody's home.
I'm not sure where the exterior is.
What kind of Canadian buildings you weirdos have?
I think the interior has been used in an earlier MacGyver, so it might be one of the old buildings from, like I said, Ocala.
But is it even the same building, the one he climbs into versus the interior?
Oh, no, they're very different. Yeah. The windows outside doesn't match the window he climbs through into the building.
Yeah, it's a flappy window as opposed to a full face window.
Yes. And then we cut to the shitty truck pulling up outside to a building I just can't place. Mac finds the lady doctor is about to die, but the door is locked. He tries to pick it with the large blade of his knife. Yeah, that would work, fucktard.
He just sits there. He's literally just swimming it around there like it's hot dog in a hallway action. Just whip, 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 nothing.
Yeah, Zito then taunts him that says he isn't that stupid. He has the key. He won't be able to pick it. So come and get it.
And he runs away.
And then, so up the stairs, Mac runs. Vito obviously was very vigilant and kept up with his cardio when he was in solitary confinement.
I know, he's sporty.
Because he gets up those stairs a lot faster than MacGyver.
Oh, this was used in an episode. This was used in the episode with Jason Priestley, right? Or Lords of Cuba. It's the one where they have a shootout and they have to go running up and down the stairs. And MacGyver falls on the stairs and a gun slips. I'm pretty sure it's Jason Priestley.
Yeah, okay. It was really familiar.
Yeah, it's Jason Priestley. It's the episode with the gun where they go running and he trips, remember? And they're trying to get revenge.
So it might be Ocala because I think Riverview was still being used as a nut hut. And the other one, Woodlands, I think was still... Woodlands, I'm not sure. All right. So Zito puts the gun down on the very obvious trapdoor and taunts him further. Oh, no. So up the stairs, Mac runs.
He gets Zito up into kicks
down some kind of beam, which drops a door down.
Yeah.
He then holds Mac at gunpoint and taunts him with the key and says he will have to kill him to get the key.
Next to the church bell.
Yeah. Can MacGyver kill? Mm-hmm. Does he have what it takes? So Zito puts the gun down on the very obvious trapdoor and taunts him even further. Go for the gun.
Yeah.
And just when he goes for it, MacGyver actually sees the trap door and the bell about to smash into him, but then doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like, he
understands the, quote, riddle that isn't a riddle. But then the device gets sent, then sets off the device. It's apparently a balance platform, not a trap door. And the bell slams into MacGyver and then slams him into a wall and then down the pit where he's hanging by his fingertips.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's like there's like a minute where he has like spider sense. And he realizes everything that's going on, and then he just falls for it.
It's still not a fucking riddle, though. Vito starts to step on his fingers.
MacGyver hitting the wall is great. It's a great scene, too. It's like so violent.
Yes, he starts to step on his fingers because evil never plays fair.
Yeah.
Mac lets go and grabs onto the rope bell, or the bell from the rope, which causes the bell to then slam into Zito.
Pretty good.
Mac climbs back up and ties him with the rope, takes the key, and then throws him down the bell tower.
And then he proceeds downstairs and finds a fried chicken that was formerly a psychologist.
Yes. Of course, Mac gets to the doctor just in time. And then we cut to Bitchy Cop going back into the office on crutches, seemingly not so bitchy. So maybe they're implying she got laid in the off time.
Pete gave her a good rogering outside over the back of his Corsica.
And Vito is now back in prison, and we cut to him taking a large needle out of an obvious fake scar. And then we freeze frame into the credits.
Does he ever come back?
No.
So he's just out there free.
Well, no, he's there with a needle doing God knows what.
No, he uses that to escape, and that gets him out free, and then he's out just killing. MacGyver gave up on him.
It makes me think that this was that Michael Debar got a little too expensive, and they started to want to have a new baddie on tap.
That would have to be in season four, but they wanted a baddie who less.
No, but they brought him back.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they didn't have a. We haven't had a. There's only one more Michael DeBar episode.
Okay. I don't know if he was that expensive, but I think it's more of they were trying to branch out and rip off what's popular, and Thomas Harris was taking the world by storm. And like, yeah, we can have him back because Hannibal Lecter keeps coming back in each of the books.
Yes, so not a horrible show, just a cheap kind of adequate treading water episode.
And if you ever wanted to see Dana Elkar in a gimp mask, if that's your thing, oh man, you're going to jizz so hard in this episode.
And not a so and oh and the lesson we learn: evil cannot be beaten simply by confronting it.
You have to give up all your morals, pick up a gun to shoot it, and get hit by a bell, learn your lesson, and then hang from a ledge.
So next week, Harry's dead.
Oh, fuck!
And with guest stars, get this: Fonzie, Lyle Alzado, Dick Butkus, James Scotty Doohan, Rich Little, Mrs. Cunningham from Happy Days, Wendy O. Williams, lead singer of the punk band Plasmatics.
Weird.
The Black Lady from Police Academy, the Little Nazi from Blues Brothers and Laugh-In, and Abe Vigoda.
Wow.
So, fuck you, MacGyver.
They went nuts.
Yes, they went all out for that, which doesn't make sense for what must be a November, maybe a December episode. If they go a month without episodes, it's got to be a November episode.
Weird.
So it's not a ratings time. It's not enough time to have it for a big Christmas episode. So I don't get it.
I guess to like send off Harry, but Harry's a character that's talked about more than he's appeared on the show.
And he only shows up in flashbacks.
So
he's dead.
Oh, so he died in real life, and they're like, "Is how we remember him?"
No, he films new things, but they portray it as flashbacks, I think. And then he dies shortly after.
Oh,
but really, Fonzie, Lyle Alzado, and Dick Butkus. So two football players.
Lyle Zato was dying too, so he appeared in the episode.
Rich Little, Mrs. Cunningham for Happy Days. Okay, well, I guess Fonzie wanted to get her some insurance for a while. But Wendy O. Williams?
Yeah, the Plasmatics thing is weird. I guess
the Black Lady from Police
Academy? Was Richard Dean Anderson dating her at the time?
I doubt it. Oddly, the Little Nazi from Blues Brothers.
That's weird. So, since I've been stuck here in Vancouver, I go to the Pacific Northwest, check out these local punk shows. I fell in love with Wendy O. Williams.
And it's like 4 or 5 years before she kills herself.
She killed herself?
Yes.
Weird. When was the last time?
I believe she shotgunned herself.
Didn't she do a love line? I feel like she did one. Died April 6, 1998. So yeah, she could have a love line in there. I think she does. Holy shit. She was fucking blew her brains out?
I believe so.
Weird.
So, that's MacGyver.
Don't kill yourself.
Bah, bah, fuck bah, off and feel our pain.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.